You're listening to Radiotopia Presents from PRX's Radiotopia.
Hi, I'm Willa Paskin, the host of Decoder Ring, Slate's podcast about cracking cultural mysteries. On Decoder Ring, we dive down rabbit holes and obsessively explore questions hiding in plain sight. Like, why has slow dancing gone out of style? And when did we all become obsessed with hydration? And where did the word mullet, you know, to describe a hairstyle, come from? That's Decoder Ring, named one of the best podcasts of 2023 by the New York Times. Listen to new episodes every 2 weeks and make sure to follow us so you never miss one.
We all have people in our lives who have changed us. And for me, Lili Finkel was one of those people. Lili met my parents in Russia, literally a few days before they immigrated to the U.S. in the 80s. Lili immigrated 6 months later and also settled in Boston, where she babysat for my older sister, and then, years later, for me. But it wasn't just babysitting. Lili was like another member of our family, always around and always in good spirits. She wore the tiniest bit of perfume, just enough so that I could tell that it was her when she entered the room. When I was young, Lili taught herself how to read and write Braille, just so she could teach me. She created Braille Mad Libs for me, and a Rubik's Cube with little Braille labels marking the colors of each square. She was always keen on helping me experience as much of the world as I could. Once, she even let me take the wheel while driving around the neighborhood. It was pretty terrifying for me. Lila loved it. But the greatest gift of all arrived on my 13th birthday. On that day, Lili came over lugging a big cardboard box and a big fat binder, as thick as a phone book. On the box was a Braille label, Lego Battle of Alamut, 821 pieces. I was intrigued. I'd read about the set online, a fortress bristling with barrels of dripping oil, catapults, and castle guards. It even came with a Lego camel. I never thought I'd actually get the Battle of Alamut, though. After all, blind kids can't really build Lego sets because the instructions are all pictures. Despite that fact, I'd always been a Lego fan, and Lila knew it. She'd actually introduced me to Lego when she found a crate of assorted pieces sitting at the end of someone's driveway on our way home from a piano lesson. And she knew I'd be excited about building this palace. But the real gift wasn't the Legos. It was the binder. I'm Matthew Schifrin, and this is Blind Guide Travels from Radiotopia. I opened up the binder from Lila, and spread out before me were pages and pages of instructions describing every step of the building process.
Step one, take a camel and put the saddle on. Step two, take a flat 8x2 and put it horizontally on the table.
Lili had created a system for identifying each piece by its tactile qualities,
take a flat 2x2 with connectors,
and describing exactly how they all fit together so that the whole set could be built by touch.
Left of the previous piece, wheels to the front and to the back.
Then she pre-sorted the pieces for each step into separate bags, so I wouldn't mix up the colors.
Bag 1, make the person. Bag 2, make the people. Bag 3,
Lili typed these instructions by hand in Braille. Now, if you've never seen a Perkins Brailler, imagine an old typewriter, way louder, that punches little sequences of dots into thick, rough paper. It only has 6 keys on it, one for each of the 6 dots that combine to form Braille letters and numbers. So instead of pushing one key at a time, like on a typical keyboard, you're pressing up to 6 keys at a time in many different combinations, and you have to really press them hard to get a good indentation. Point is, writing these instructions was a lot of work. I remember in elementary school, my sighted friends were obsessed with Lego. They'd come to class with tales of the Hogwarts Express or tow truck they'd just finished. I was in awe. It would take me hours to finish even a small set when building with my parents. They'd have to tell me what piece to look for, one by one, and I'd go scrounging around for it in the box. The whole process was exhausting.
Number 5. Put the 3x2 part next to it. Put a 2x2 part on the joint.
Now, years later, with Braille instructions in hand, I spent my entire 13th birthday building.
Number 10.
And by bedtime, a domed Middle Eastern palace loomed before me on the kitchen table. And that's how Lego for the Blind began. A few months after my 13th birthday, Lily was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. No one knew how long she had to live. The doctors said a year at most. I was devastated, but I couldn't just crumple into a depressed mess. Lily certainly wasn't crumbling. She was taking it day by day, one task at a time. So I did the same.
Okay, here we are, and I'll just read the instructions out loud. It says, insert 2 sticks.
Lily used to record videos of us building to capture every moment of the experience.
I haven't emptied the contents of bag 1-3.
When I'd call her after chemo, she'd be too exhausted to talk. And yet, she was still typing up Lego instructions and sorting pieces into Ziploc bags with Braille labels so I could build faster. After we finished building the palace, we moved on to Hogwarts Castle.
Yeah, this ship is going to be hard to build.
A pirate ship, the Sydney Opera House, and London's Tower Bridge. As the sets got more complicated, we realized that there was an easier way for Lila to translate instructions. She could just type them into a Word document, which I could then read on my Braille computer. This streamlined our whole process. As Lila wrote instructions, I would build the sets, checking for errors as I went.
I was hoping it would make a clicking noise, but it didn't. And now I have to put 2 more.
Around this time, I reached out to Lego to see if they'd be interested in making their own text-based instructions for the blind. I mean, if Lily and I could make instructions from our living room, Lego could make every set accessible, no problem, right? Trouble was, I didn't quite know who to talk to, and neither did the customer service rep I got on the phone. So Lily and I decided to launch our own website, legofortheblind.com. And it kind of took off.
So Matthew and his family friend Lilia developed a system to enable blind or visually impaired people to build commercial.
Popular Science interviewed us. Time for Kids got in touch.
Now he's doing the same for kids everywhere. Voice and Braille instructions for 4 different Legos.
The emails started pouring in. A lot of them came from blind children or their sighted parents, requesting we make instructions for their favorite sets. Blind parents with sighted children also wrote to me, saying that they finally understood why their kids were so obsessed with Lego, and telling me how great it felt that they could finally check their kids' work to make sure that all the bricks were in the right spots. I even got emails from sighted kids who wrote, "Hey, I'm not blind, but this is really cool. Keep it up." I've often thought that creating text-based instructions kept Lila going. They gave her purpose. When things got really bad, I'd come over to her house and sit by her side, building Lego sets as the oxygen concentrator whirred and hummed. The doctors had given her a year to live, but she lived for 5. And they weren't 5 years of pain and suffering. She was energetic as always. She mentored autistic children, translated books from Russian to English, and still made it to church almost every week. The cancer and chemo almost seemed to fade into the background. And in that time, she created instructions for over 40 Lego sets.
Pause button.
Lila, what inspired you to take on a project of such magnitude?
I didn't know what it was of any magnitude when I started it.
This is the only conversation I recorded with Lila a few years before she died.
It was interesting to realize that the most explainable and adaptable thing is words. You cannot build a model to copy it, it's too cumbersome. But you can explain it with words.
Is there anything that you would like people to know about the process of adaptation?
It's exciting, it's very rewarding for both of us. After I started it, I noticed that my whole thinking process changed a little bit. I was always a work person and never a construction person. After I've done quite a lot of this direction, I found out that I could fix a broken air conditioner or a toilet bowl or something. And it was amazing because it inspired me with confidence that I could do something like that. And it really expanded my mind.
I would agree. I would say that it's just been really interesting for me as a blind person to really be able to feel on par with sighted people. And Lilith, thank you so much for your time.
But I wanted to add that it's not been on par. It's a much higher level of building, because if you ask anyone to close their eyes and to read the written instructions and then to build it without benefit of sight, I think it's a real feat. It's amazing that someone can do that, and it's not being on par. It's being much, much higher.
Thank you, Lilith.
Thank you.
Lilith Finkel died on April 3rd, 2017. At that point, LEGOfortheblind.com had been up for less than a year. There was no way I could continue writing instructions on my own, but it felt important to try. And not just to keep Lila's memory alive, though that was a big part of it. Building Lego sets gave me insight into things that I'd always heard described, but never really understood. You can't wrap your hands around Big Ben or scale the Statue of Liberty, but when you build these monuments by yourself, you can understand their shape and their form. The same goes for fictional objects. No one I know has a life-sized Millennium Falcon or Batmobile lying around, so Legos were my way of touching the untouchable. Soon after Lila died, I was talking to a friend at MIT about the project, and it just so happened that his friend had recently moved to Denmark to work at Lego. So my friend put me in touch with his friend, who in turn put me in touch with Olaf Gerlofsen, the head of Lego's Creative Play Lab.
Yeah, my name is Olaf Gerlofsen, and I have been working with Lego for 40 years. The last few years with different kind of digital experiences for children. Yeah.
So what made you decide, I mean, when we first met, I mean, I just wrote you this email and I kind of talked about the instructions that my friend and I had made. What made you decide to pursue this project?
That was your good story.
Mm-hmm.
At the very first point, how you as a blind, vision impaired, who had the opportunity to actually to build with Lego. And as I see, the Lego should be for anyone.
Oh, absolutely.
And if we could help there in any way, then we should do so.
Olaf was inspired by Lila's instructions, but realized that he needed a totally different approach.
It was obvious that we couldn't do the same as Lydia did for Matthew, writing everything down manually.
So Olaf decided to go with a more high-tech process.
We should do that in a more automated way.
And what he realized was that Lego already had text-based instructions for many of their sets, in a way.
When we actually are doing building instructions, digital building instructions on a computer, there's a code in behind describing the individual elements, the individual components, and their position and their colors and everything. It's all available in there, but it's in a coded computer language. So the idea was if we could translate that into something that could be understood.
But he didn't want to rely on someone manually translating these instructions from computer code. He wanted to automate the process. So Olaf came up with something much faster.
That was kind of machine learning. Artificial intelligence, that's what we use.
An algorithm that could be trained to take Lego design straight off a computer and spit out step-by-step text-based building instructions.
It has not been done before. We're learning a machine how to read the computer code. That has never been done before.
It just really brings so much purpose to what we're doing at Lego.
The company developed four sets using software to translate the visual...
2 years after that first conversation, in 2019, Lego released their first set of text-based instructions.
What do you hope?
At this point, word about the Braille instructions spread even faster.
That's Matthew Schifrin. He was born blind.
And I started meeting more and more blind kids who, like me, were obsessed with Lego.
Now I might actually be able to build with my brothers. They're obsessed with Legos.
One of those kids was Alex Rosario. He's 12 years old.
Hello?
Alex, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, great to hear you.
We got back in touch recently with some help from his mom.
We're making our way upstairs.
And Alex told me about what he's been working on, a massive Lego amusement park, about the size of a pool table.
Okay, so little idea is the table at the bottom is kind of like the entrance area with all like the restaurants and stuff for the amusement park. There's a pizzeria, a bunch of ice cream carts and cotton candy stuff. And then I have my roller coaster, and then inside my roller coaster...
Alex reminds me a lot of my younger self. His curiosity, the thrill he gets when building.
And as they spin, they swing outward, so if you spin them really fast...
And his love of Lego not just as a toy, but as a way to learn about the world around him.
What was it like when you found these text-based instructions and you were able to build with them?
Oh, it was awesome. I felt like a whole new door had opened, kind of like, okay, wow, this is how these parts go together.
What do you think you've learned from building with Lego? Has it taught you anything about the world?
It's taught me pretty much how a lot of different things are made that I was never able to really realize because I can't see much.
I mean, the roller coaster is a great example.
Yeah.
We've all ridden roller coasters.
But getting to really see and build the track design and getting to watch it go up and around and back down just really kind of let me think like, wow, this is what it's like to see a roller coaster.
If you're a sighted person, the world takes shape instantly. Right in front of you. You can look at an object and take it in all at once. Touch is the opposite. It's sequential, meaning you can only take in parts of an object, and your brain fills in the gaps, trying to guesstimate what this object is and what it does. For blind people, understanding the world is a step-by-step process. I might feel a side mirror and know it's part of a car, but I can't tell you anything else about the car itself unless I feel my way around the whole thing. Building a Lego set is the same, but in miniature. And there's a special kind of surprise and delight you get when the pieces are all in place and you suddenly comprehend the whole. I remember when I went to Denmark to demonstrate the text-based instructions at Lego's headquarters, they had a Lego version of the Great Wall of China on display. In my mind, I'd always pictured it as a regular wall, flat and straight, like the kind inside your house. No one had ever thought to tell me how uneven it was. How it rose and fell, punctuated by battlements and observation points. And how it, too, was built brick by brick by brick. As of today, Lego has adapted 25 sets for blind builders, and they plan to continue adapting, so that hopefully, someday soon, every new Lego set will come with downloadable text-based instructions.
Alex, is there anything you want to tell other blind kids? Let's say other blind kids want to get into Lego, and they don't really know what to do. What would you tell them?
I guess just do whatever you want. That's the whole point of Lego.
What's the most rewarding thing that you get out of spending hours upon hours of typing up these instructions?
The wonderful thing was that when Matthew started building the first real Lego model, he was kind of talking to himself, and I overheard him singing in a sing-song voice, saying, "I'm a boy, I'm building Lego." That was amazing.
Blind Guide Travels from Radiotopia is written and performed by me, Matthew Schifrin. I also wrote and performed the music in this episode. Our producer and sound designer is Ian Koss. Audrey Martovich and Julie Shapiro are executive producers. If you'd like to build using text-based instructions, visit legofortheblind.com or legoaudioinstructions.com.
Blind Guide Travels is a production of Radiotopia from PRX and part of Radiotopia Presents, a podcast of limited-run, artist-owned series from new and original voices. Radiotopia Presents is supported by listeners like you. To learn more and donate, visit radiotopiapresents.fm.
Radiotopia.